What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
NBC and MSNBS hacks melted down over the idea of being surrounded by other ideas. The horror. Minnesota AG Keith Ellison blames automakers for making cars too tempting to young thugs. And a fringe repeat political candidate and aspiring rapper out of New York City sucker punched a TikToker, proving once again that the Empire State is a failed one. I'll crown my losers of the week. Then, the nation's third largest cult, I mean teachers union, is on the brink of extinction in Florida. What you need to know later. The show starts now. It is time for my losers of the week. You know, the left claims to love diversity so much so progressives actually mandate it through DEI programs and affirmative action protocols. But that affinity for diversity ends where diversity of thought begins. That notion is just a bridge too far, and that was made even more apparent this week after the collective meltdown over the hiring and then subsequent firing of former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel over there at NBC. The on-air hacks over there at NBC and MSNBS just could not stomach the idea of a real-life Trump supporter voicing ideas that half the country or more believe in.
The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
An anti-democracy election denier.
She lied to the American people to further the autocratic movement that is Trumpism.
She dropped the Romney from her name, apparently, because Donald Trump hates Mitt Romney.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it.
And I hope they will reverse their decision.
We hope NBC will reconsider its decision.
The viewers of this platform in particular, for at least 8 years, have found a home here for conversations around protecting democracy. And what they saw in the hiring of Ronna McDaniel is a decision to bring on board someone who's a liar.
And the tantrums from those petty little babies worked because in short order, NBC announced they had reconsidered the hiring of Ronna McDaniel, saying it's important that the talent and the newsroom align. NBC Universal Group Chairman Cesar Conde even went so far as to apologize to employees for letting them down, as if the network had hired a friggin' terrorist or something. You know, Ronna McDaniel led up the RNC, which represents half or more of American voters. So is NBC signaling to its audience that Republicans are not welcome? Yeah, I think so. So if you happen to be a Republican who happens to watch those networks, well, you know what to do. Moving on to loser two this week, another Democrat. Shocking, I know. You know, the U.S. is experiencing a car theft epidemic, and sadly, a lot of it comes at the sticky hands of our nation's youth. But Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison knows exactly who is to blame. Car manufacturers. Yes, no kidding. AG Ellison firmly believes that punishing thieves, thugs, and degenerates is not the answer. Instead, he puts the burden on car manufacturers, saying it's a responsibility of automakers to make sure their cars are not tempting thieves. Ellison laments how easy it is to steal certain makes and models of vehicles and that those automakers need to do a better job so their cars aren't so attractive for theft.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
Yeah, that's what it is, Keith. These young thugs are just walking around, minding their business, probably saving kittens and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, they see a car that's too easy to jack, and that is what turns them into thieving criminals. You know, with so-called leaders like that, is it really a wonder we have a crime crisis? Which leads us to loser three this week, a repeat fringe political candidate and aspiring rapper who goes by the name Designer Attitude, allegedly punched, sucker punched, in fact, a TikToker on the streets of New York this week. And in true influencer fashion, she posted about it. Take a look.
You guys, I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground and now this giant goose egg is forming and I'm like, oh my God, it looks so crazy.
That video went out to her 1.1 million followers and has since been viewed tens of millions of times. And it turns out the man that allegedly did it is this dude, Skiboiki Stora, who goes by the rapper name Designer Attitude. Here is a sampling of his art.
Young Daka, boo, what you wanna do? It don't really matter. I buy you diamond shoes. You already know. Me and my crew. Brooklyn, baby. It's the squad, bro.
An interesting fella, for sure, as he has also run for mayor, governor, and city council in the past 3 years. But given how low the bar is for elected office in New York, if he sucker punches people and he vows to get Trump, he could probably get elected. Good luck, New York. Those are my losers of the week. Moving on now to a winner state with a winner governor, Florida. Florida is the bright spot of the nation and the sunshine at the end of the doom and gloom tunnel for many reasons. And here's another one. After months of campaigning, the Miami-Dade Education Coalition, a union alternative formed by the Freedom Foundation, is on the cusp of pushing the nation's third largest teachers union, the United Teachers of Dade, into extinction. Joining me now with more on that fight and why you should care is CEO of the Freedom Foundation, Aaron Wythe. Aaron, this is big news. I had you on my show months back, and you talked to me about how you guys were fighting and fighting to get rid of these cult-like teachers' unions. And now it looks like in Miami-Dade, you guys are right there on the brink of accomplishing that goal. Tell me about that fight and how close you guys are to making some big changes that will likely have ripple effects across the state, across the country.
Yeah, so Miami-Dade is the third largest school teachers union in America, one of the largest school districts in America. And we have the opportunity to decertify them after a law that we helped Ron DeSantis and the Florida legislature pass. What the law did is it made it so if union membership falls below 60%, then it triggers what we call an automatic decertification vote. Basically a vote where all these teachers get to decide whether they want a union or no union or an alternative union. So we've been helping teachers across Miami-Dade to create a new union, to one that wouldn't be involved in politics, one that wouldn't be doing CRT and sex ed and all the rest of it. All it would do is represent teachers. So we've been collecting signatures of thousands of teachers across Miami and turning those over. So now the situation is that we're going to be heading for a vote potentially this summer where teachers are going to get the opportunity to vote for the radical teachers union that currently exists, or a union that's just going to represent their best interests. Most of these teachers in Miami and across Florida have never had the opportunity to vote for a union in their lives. This union, Miami's been there for over 50 years.
Right. Well, for people that need a more of an education on these unions, you and I have discussed this before, but it's worth retracing that because people, you know, they can go either way on unions. It's a big blue collar thing to be a part of a union. Unions, though, of their formation to what they've become now is night and day. And they've become much more like political operations and in many cases, intimidation operations for even the people that are members of that union, the teachers union being a perfect example of that. So explain to my audience, in the case of Miami-Dade or really any city, how these teachers unions operate, how they get their members and how they hold on to their members, maybe without their members knowing that they have an alternative or an option or any kind of say whatsoever.
Yes, yeah, so you're right. When private sector unions started really in the late 1800s, they existed to represent workers and in a really noble way. However, today, the teachers unions, state worker unions, county and city employee unions, they exist to be the primary funders of Democrats. That's all they do. Most of their revenue goes towards gifts to politicians and to political 501c3 and C4 organizations. There's no way that in America today that these unions are anything like that they were meant to be when they were founded. So, yeah, in the instance of the teachers unions, for example, they're spending most of their time during COVID, keeping kids out of schools, making them wear masks. Today, it's critical race theory, sex ed and gender ideology and confusion. That's the agenda that they're promoting today. I don't think you can look at these teachers' unions today and say that they're existing to help kids. Right. I mean, maybe there's an argument that they're existing to help teachers, but they're certainly not helping our kids.
So when I think of unions and their inception, I think about people who want you know, better pay, better hours, better conditions. They want to have more of a say in their employment and the things that surround their employment. But these teachers unions, especially during COVID, that was, as you mentioned, highlighted, that these teachers unions that were supposedly representing teachers and educators and education, they just did their damnedest to make sure that they didn't have to go to work and put on clothes and have, you know, students actually come and attend classes. And then even when the students were there, they wanted everybody masked. They wanted vaccines. I mean, they wanted to push a lot of things that have nothing to do with a safe environment for teaching and for learning. So I think that that really allowed the public to see what the underbelly of the teachers union really looks like. Living in California, I know that the teachers unions, they run the show. I mean, they've got Governor Gavin Newsom by the collar, and they can really do what they want, and they did do what they wanted. And a lot of these other unions operate in a similar way. But in Miami-Dade, I think a lot of people would be surprised that there are so many teachers and educators that want out. So when you hear them and you talk to them and you collect their signatures, why do they tell you that they want out?
So you raised a good point when it comes to the teachers unions. They're meant to, if nothing else, they're meant to represent teachers. In Miami specifically, teacher pay is very low. They have not been doing their job there. The average teacher is making around $50,000 a year in a place where, frankly, the cost of living is quite high. So the union has failed these people, not just at the bargaining table, but they've failed to represent their benefits at all. Their primary goal is all about politics. So that's what they care about. And that's why these teachers are so frustrated. They want, if they want a union, if the unions are going to exist in the public sector in America, and arguably they shouldn't, but if they are, then they should at the very least represent these teachers. And they've completely failed to do this. The scale in Miami, though, is something that I've never seen before. It's 30,000 public educators in Miami. And the amount of money that they're paying in union dues is in the tens of millions of dollars. Most of that's going towards statewide and federal elected officials like Joe Biden. So this, not only are they playing defense in Miami-Dade right now, but there's going to be money, tens of millions of dollars, that is not going to be going to the campaign of people like Joe Biden. Instead, it's going to be spent on teachers doing, you know, groceries or Christmas or whatever it is they need.
That's wild to me. But it does actually, to me, give me a little hope and optimism that there are actually teachers who are saying, we don't want to be a political machine. We don't want to be a cog in the political machine. We don't want to talk about CRT and sex ed and gender delusions. That's not what we want to do as teachers. And, you know, unfortunately, in at least the last 5 years, it has seemingly felt like a lot of educators did want that, that they were pushing for that, that teachers wanted that, that they came out of universities and then they went right into teaching liberal ideology. But you're telling me, at least as far as Miami-Dade is concerned, that there are actual teachers that are stepping back and saying, this isn't what we want.
Yeah, I think it's the same across the country, actually, Tommy. I think most teachers go into the teaching profession because they care about kids. They care about wanting to make these kids' lives better. They don't go into it to teach critical race theory or sex ed to 7-year-olds. I mean, they go into it to do better in the life. But the problem is that you recognize is that there's very few loud, outspoken teachers that are in the teachers union that are pursuing this radical ideology. So my hope is that not only are we going to be able to do this in Miami-Dade, we're going to be replicating it across districts in Florida. We've already recognized that there are over 100 fractions of government that we can and should and will target with these campaigns. But every red state should be doing this.
Right.
Blue states are making it easier for unions to operate. They're making it so that unions basically can sign people up for union membership and they can essentially never leave. Red states should be taking the opposite. And Governor DeSantis has done a wonderful job at making it so if there are going to be unions in the state of Florida, these people have affirmatively made the decision to be a part of them. And these unions are accountable to those people.
So you mentioned Governor Ron DeSantis, which you worked with closely to push this forward and get to the point that you are. And tell me about that partnership and why this is important to the governor and what your work has been with him to kind of get this thing closer to the finish line.
So I don't want to speak for the governor, but I do know that he's very much pro-worker and anti-union, especially radical teachers unions, not so much blue-collar unions in the state. But yeah, his motivation on something like this was to make it so that government unions weren't going to spend hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars on his opponents and his other political opponents. Because the scandal of all this is that this is money taken from the paychecks of teachers and funneled into liberal politicians, regardless of whether these teachers agree with them or not. And at the very least, teachers and other public employees should have a choice about whether they should be part of the union.
Right.
And this decertification effort is the epitome of that. We're going to find out if these teachers want to belong to a radical teachers union or they want an alternative. And we're supporting that effort.
So what does an alternative look like? What does that mean? And how is it different from these giant teachers unions that are currently in existence?
So we're working with a group of local teachers in Miami. They've created this local association called the Miami-Dade Education Coalition. These people are not going to be paid. They're volunteers. And the union dues that are currently being paid, they're around $1,000 a year. That's going to be cut in half to about $400, $450 a year. All that money is going to go towards is representing teachers and grievance disputes. It's in the bylaws that they can't be associated with a national political union. Mm. It's in their bylaws that they can't spend money on politics. So all this union is going to exist to do is represent teachers better. And in Miami-Dade, these teachers have been totally failed by this union.
That seems like a no-brainer for teachers, too. I mean, as much as there might be some in a teachers union that really want to educate on liberal ideology and really want dues to go to political candidates, I would say, by and large, no matter how they personally believe, they would rather have better conditions and better pay and better benefits. That seems like a no-brainer for everybody. Miami-Dade is the start of this. Hopefully the state of Florida comes next. You live in Texas. Have you done work with other states and other red state governors that you think would be likely to back this kind of effort like Ron DeSantis has done in Florida?
Yeah, we have a lot of great governors and state legislatures out there that have an appetite for this. So yeah, we're working with half a dozen other states on progressing similar type of legislation in the next couple of years. Texas will be one of those states. Again, it's another state where unions, there are several school districts that have never voted for their union. So there should be decertification provisions. Also, the opportunity to eliminate the government's ability to deduct union dues from teachers' paychecks. That should be illegal. There should not be a government entity taking union dues from public employees' paychecks. These are private sector businesses. If they want to earn their money, these people should be writing a check or giving them their credit card information. Of course, government unions hate this because when that happens, it means they have to actually justify their existence. And most people don't see a benefit for them.
Yeah, and most people don't. And I think that COVID really brought a lot of this to the head, at least as far as teachers' unions. For those parents out there that are watching and they know the teachers' union and the impact that the teachers' unions had during COVID and also on political ideology and other things being pushed on their students, and they feel like maybe attacking the teachers' union, this giant infrastructure, might be the way to get back to a better education for their kids, what can those parents do to help further this in their own community, in their own district?
Everybody knows teachers, and a lot of teachers have no idea that they have the ability to leave their union. So if you know a teacher, tell them to go to optouttoday.com. We exist to help public employees like teachers to get out of their unions. And that's a massive campaign that we run all over the country. So that's the number one thing. Number two, support the Freedom Foundation. I mean, what we do is we exist to help these public employees and get those union dues out of politics. If we can do this as a conservative movement, then we can essentially defund these unions and put that money back in the pockets of working people and not in the pockets of the number one funder of the Democrats. You know, it's not going to be going towards Joe Biden's campaign.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think it's important that what you guys are doing is you're saying, hey, this should just go back to what it's intended to. You're not saying, oh, it should go to conservative politicians or conservative causes. You're saying, hey, listen, this just shouldn't be a part of it. This shouldn't be a part of the educational process that our tax dollars go into, should not be going into funding candidates on either side. It just should not be the way that this ecosystem works. So thank you to the Freedom Foundation for doing this and for being here and explaining this to people, because I think people hear about teachers' unions, but they don't really know how to address it, and it seems too big to fail. But you guys are proving, at least in Florida, that it's not. So I really appreciate everything that you've done. Of course, Governor Ron DeSantis being a champion on this, as he is with many other things. And best of luck to you guys when this vote goes down, and I hope the nation's watching. They should be next.
Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Aaron. All right, guys, that does it for the show tonight. Please catch me tonight on Hannity at 9 p.m. Eastern and tomorrow on Outnumbered at noon Eastern on Fox News. Until then, from Nashville, God bless and take care.